Let's do it.
Every Thursday morning, after a long night of Wednesday playoff action, just waiting for you in your podcast feeds as you wake up, it's Point of Contention.
On the Athletic NBA Show as a part of the Athletic
Podcast Network, it's myself, Zach Harper, teeing up the toughest topics and questions to Marcus Thompson and Ethan Sherwood Strauss with Jade Hoy producing.
Every Thursday, subscribe to the Athletic NBA Show.
Point of Contention.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to give you some of the craziest and most hard-hitting theories and takes of playoff action possible.
And you'll get Point of Contention right in your eardrums. In fact, if you don't like it, we'll have a Point of Contention for you.
Right here on The Athletic.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show.
On The Athletic Podcast Network.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Are you going to cover, do you fly to go to any of these games? Or?
I'm going to Milwaukee for the East games.
Oh, good.
Bob, I can't be on a plane right now with crazy people. I just can't. I will really? Not handle that. I won't handle it well.
Yeah, that's good. No, be self-aware.
Like, Milwaukee's only an hour and a half flight from here, so that's fine. But 4.5 out to Phoenix from here with some Yahoo, just not
going
to
handle it. Yeah, not doing it.
Can't handle it well.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Oh, God. Well, it's good, man. You know your limits.
I kind of want you to go now.
Yeah, I kind of want there to be an episode.
You know what I mean?
Like, go viral. Aldridge loses it.
Yeah. Like, me on a plane just in close quarters trying to... You know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Like Marcus said, I'm interested in that. I mean, that would be interesting to me.
Exactly. I should maybe rethink this. I don't know. Maybe I'll go out to the lake.
Right. So, I didn't even know you guys were doing this. How long has this been going?
That hurts.
Yeah, well, I'm not. Don't take offense. I'm not super high on like.
Come on.
Sorry.
One of the 8 billion podcasts that are out there.
Yeah, I apologize. It's a tough one to keep track of.
Jesus, Kerr did 2 episodes with us last year.
Oh, my God. Well, Kerr's on Twitter and all that. Kerr's more savvy.
Kerr says yes to everybody, though, so it's different.
Yeah, you're right. That is true.
He doesn't have a filter.
Let's bring D.A. into the conversation here.
Welcome to Hoop.
Comma is...
As Jason. On the Athletic Podcast Network.
I turned it on and I heard Shaq with the barbs. It's like the bullshit and braggadocio. I was transported right back into it. I was like, oh, this is great.
I think I rap better than Shaq.
With David Aldridge.
Oh, he's totally playing him. Yes! Yes! And then he kept their lungs out in front of everybody on TV.
Michael was not your friend.
It was popping in there.
And Marcus Thompson.
I just can't get with this idea of taking 1 hour of content and finding the morsel that might pop and blowing out of it.
Hoops adjacent.
Welcome to Hoop
5-4. We have ignition.
Stay mellow, my friends.
The comma is...
Liftoff.
And it's another Hoops Adjacent episode of the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here. It's sweltering here in D.C., Marcus. It's about 98 with humidity.
You're like in a Do the Right Thing movie, right?
You know
like,
what I mean? Yeah, exactly. You need the mayor to come out here.
You need somebody to rub an ice cube across your nipple.
And we were R-rated in the first minute. Damn, Marcus.
Didn't we start recording? Have we started recording?
The dulcet tones of Bob Meyer, the general manager of the Golden State Warriors. Bob, thank you for joining
us,
man.
Bob, my bad.
Okay, I'm happy. Knowing you both a long time, so I'm thankful to be on this. I'm excited to see where we go with this whole thing. I have no idea where we're headed.
Oh, it's gonna. It's easy. You know this. It's easy with us.
I got a vent to start with. Okay, I got to open up with a vent.
Here we go. See, yo. David, this is what I'm talking about.
Listen. These fireworks are really about to make me lose my mind. Am I the only one here? I feel like I'm 97 years old fighting bottle rockets. Like, I'm so sick of fireworks, yo.
I
know it's Hoops Adjacent. But, like, I'm about to, I'm ready to go off at this point. Like, it's July 5th, and it's been going on in Oakland since, like, May 1st. Bob, you know what I'm talking about.
Marcus, I'm going to ask a delicate question here. You grew up with other kinds of fireworks around you?
Yes.
Is that where you're going with that? Or are you going more towards you just take...
No, it's just...
Okay, I got you.
I mean, that's part of it.
Right.
To be honest, there's been a lot of like shootings mixed in because there's no greater time to bust some shots off than during fireworks exactly. season, right?
They can't tell the difference. Yeah.
Have that dynamic. That's what I'm saying, right?
It wasn't going down?
I knew Come it was on. Fireworks, right? Like, wonder, like, that's a firework. Oh, no. Man, that's brutal.
Yeah,
that's a little bit where I'm going. No. That's why I can't take it so much, right? Yeah. Maybe that's why it's pushing me to the edge.
Honestly,
it doesn't stop.
We've had it here. We have it here, but it's not too bad. Honestly, I feel bad for dogs. That's who I feel bad for. Dogs.
Oh my gosh.
Dogs get freaked out by fireworks. You know, they don't know what's going on. You know, so. Yeah. But I can handle it. I grew up in the city like you, Marcus. I can handle it. I've heard worse.
As long as it's just fireworks.
Just fireworks. Exactly.
How do you really know, though? How do you ever?
I don't
really know.
That's I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know. Enough is enough.
How do you
though,
know
right?
it's not?
Yeah.
How do you know it's not Clay in downtown Oakland busting shots? How do you know that?
Because I know he's out on a boat somewhere.
What Clay says, he's getting shots up. Are you sure he's not talking about it?
I'm not sure of anything anymore. So, no, I don't know. I have no idea what our guys do.
No great habits. Our assist to turnover ratio tonight was phenomenal. We got to keep that up. So,
you had 60 in 3 quarters. What do you think would have happened if you played in the fourth?
What's that?
You had 60 in 3 quarters. What do you think would have happened if you had the chance to play in the fourth?
Who knows? Hopefully, yeah, I don't know.
So, that's a great question. So, gotta ask you, have you given a very, you know, spicy, not safe for work message to Schlenk since his team bowed up and made the Eastern Conference Finals? Have you told him it's on now?
No, man, I did the decent thing. I congratulated him. I said, "Great." No, it's tough to win in this league, and he's done a great job. And you know, you got to take it where you can get it. I don't think I texted him. I remember early in the year. I remember the game. I think they were playing like one of those back to backs in Brooklyn, and I believe they won one or lost one. I forget what it was. And I texted him and I said, "You got a really good team." And he, the classic GM, we'll see, you know, we'll see how it goes together. But I thought that early, and then they had some struggles, but good for him, good for Nate, good for their players. And it's a great story, and watching Trae Young become, you know, the playoffs are where you get the credit you seek, and to see him succeed, good for him.
I wonder, I mean, it's so much like, there's nothing like the first time, right? There's nothing like that first run where you go further than you really thought you were ready to go, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I mean, for sure. Marcus kind of was intimately kind of on that journey in 14, 15. The best thing about the first time, at least for us, was we'd never even been to the Western Conference Finals. I mean, it was for my regime, you know, it was with Mark. We were second round and then a first round loss to the Clippers. So we had been coming off a first round game 7 loss. So we didn't, I mean, look, nobody thought, maybe some people, very few people thought we could win a championship. Probably, if we're honest, including us, that run up was more surreal. I can't find the best words. I'm sure Marcus wrote a good piece on what it felt like. But that, David, yeah. I mean, I hate comparing this to children, but your first kid, it's the best I can do. Kind of like the miracle of it. I just never thought, growing up a Warriors fan personally, I honestly didn't think it was possible. I just thought the championships happened to other teams. My owner definitely thought it was possible, which is why we complimented each other. He said, this is what we're going to do. But no, it's the first time. The thing I remember talking to Kerr about was when we were there in Cleveland, I looked at him, I said, I can't imagine coming this far and losing. Because it goes on so long and there's so many ups and downs. And I don't think Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, David, because you may know better than I do as a historian. I don't think Steve has ever lost in the finals up to that point. I know we've lost the Warriors, but I don't think he lost as a player, right? Did he lose?
No.
I don't think
he ever lost
in the finals as a player.
No, because the Spurs only lost was in 14, right? Or 13.
And he wasn't clearly on that deal.
And he wasn't there, right? So, I think you're right. I think you're right. So, Spurs never lost, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, but the first time for sure. Can't compare to that.
So I'm curious, Bob, you, when you're watching Schlenk put together his team and, you know, you probably know a lot of the moves, right? There's a lot of similarities between how you guys put it together and how he put it together. Do you look at it with a bit of like, hey, I knew you were waiting to do this. I could tell, like, I could see this coming. Like the parts that he took that were from the Warriors, the parts that that is just Travis Schlenk, and you knew this is how he would go. Like, as you watched it, what came to mind?
You know, it's never – the thing about what we do is we are far from perfect, which I think you both know. And the hard part in today's society is, you know, redraft, you know, what you should have done, what somebody else said. You know, that's never been more present in our industry because fans have never been – and media has never been more educated about the cap, about the draft, about analytics. So the second guessing – is at the highest level, which is not bad. I mean, people are engaged. But even Travis would say, you know, drafting all the guys he's drafted, making all the decisions he makes, you really hope it works. I do know that he did identify Trey. The Capella move was a great move. Hunter, all these guys. Hunter wasn't even playing, which he's a great player.
Yeah.
Bogdanovich, Gallinari. I mean, taking advantage of the cap space before he had to do the rookie extensions. He works extremely hard. He does a really good job. He's got a really good staff. And I always thought he would succeed because he did it the right way. He took some lumps early. When you're rebuilding, nobody quite is on your side. But exercising that patience and then seeing it come to fruition, he's got some highly skilled guys, loves the wing, multi-positional guys. So he's, like I said, I mean, he's done a tremendous job. And the thing I admire about him is he's a tireless worker. Like, he doesn't take shortcuts, and what he has achieved, he deserves, and he's earned it. And I'm really happy for him.
What that after that first year, Bob, and this is something that Atlanta is going to have to face. Phoenix is going to have to face. Milwaukee doesn't really, because they've kind of made their decisions already. But Riley used to always talk about the disease of Moore, which comes after you win for real the first time. And did you know automatically, okay, this is going to cost us X, you know, we're going to have to do this? Or was it all kind of organic and it happened more in the moment?
I think there's a few ways to look at it. There's layers to this, David, and there's a cost financially, right? There's a cost to that. And you think about that. You say, how are we going to keep this together? No different than a successful TV show or band. The more successful you are, the more you know you're going to have to pay. That's just life. And so you start thinking about that. And it's not about the athletes, in our case, players not deserving it. They're more than deserving of the money they get. So you have to think about it and say, well, with this level of success, you have a financial cost. Thankfully for me, our owner is willing to go down that road and pay that freight. But then you talk about the psychological cost of keeping something together. And that, to me, is the thing that I think people may miss. And that's what I loved about the Last Dance documentary is, and even talking to Kerr, who was featured in it offline with Steve, he even said there was this narrative of keeping it together, right? They got to come back around. And Steve would tell you, if he was on here, he'd say, we were done. It was over. It was over. Even if Phil had come back, like, it was done. And you only can say that when you're actually there. So the hardest thing now, David, is, and I was going to actually ask you, I know I'm the one who's being interviewed, but the fluidity and speed and pace of the league has never been faster. So in the way of planning, in the way of strategizing, in the way of keeping a group together, it's harder than ever because even societally, we lack this patience. It's kind of, look how many, Steve Kerr, I'll tell you that, this sums it up. Steve Kerr is the third longest tenured coach in the league right now.
Right.
Okay, 7 years.
Yeah,
that is not that long. And he's won 3 championships. So it tells you the speed with which we expect success and the speed with which players, owners, GMs expect things to be good. And when they're not, we change.
Yeah.
And so keeping something together psychologically, to me, is as hard as it is financially. So when you look at these teams, you referenced our team, any team, you say, okay, you had success. Now you're expected to have success. Yeah. How are you going to act when success is expected? Because I was telling a coach the other day, a guy that's interviewing for some head coaching jobs. He said, what's your advice? I said, you don't really know where you stand until there's expectations. Yeah. And then you find out who's who. And I think that's the hardest thing to navigate in professional sports, is when you're supposed to win. And you talk about these teams that are coming off this great run. Well, last year you went to this conference. Now you got to go to the finals, or now you got to do it again. That's the toughest part. But that's what you want. You want those expectations because it means you have a good team.
So you clearly had to measure and figure out like where you guys stood. And I just want you to know, on Hoops Adjacent, if you need to, you're welcome to get it off your chest. If you want to declare the Warriors done, I mean, go right ahead. Do it here. But
we're in rebuilding mode. Myers, yeah, Myers, rebuilding.
Did I say that? I was confused. I didn't think I said that.
I thought you might have needed to get something off your chest. Maybe.
I'm sorry.
In case.
Okay.
No, yeah. Seriously. Obviously, you clearly don't think that. Right. But how do you – this has been what the last – definitely year has been, right, managing that moment or trying to figure that out. Like, what's that like when the guys you love, and when I say you love, like you really do love them, right? Yeah. Like Steph Curry, yeah. Yeah. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, when they're saying to you, like, we got another one. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, what is that like, knowing you have also $400 billion in salary cap and having to deal with that? But these three guys are like, Bob, let's go. We got more left.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I believe them. I do. I believe them. I don't think it's just words. If you know those guys, you're talking about those three guys, it's not just words. They, what's more important than knowing them is that's inside of them. Like, that championship pedigree is real for those guys. Like that desire, mm-hmm. that competitive desire, that those guys are always meeting the moment. You talk about the playoffs and the stress of it, and the angst of it, and the difficulty of it. Those three specifically always rose up to that. And obviously Kevin being a part of what he was, he's maybe one of the best ever of exceeding that. Like, I don't think there's a ceiling for a guy like that. Like, there's no moment that he can't overcome. And I would say the same about our guys. But I believe them, Marcus. And if you talk about the relationship component of it, and I know this isn't kind of what you asked, but that's my favorite part of the job. Most often in this business, you get to be around a guy 2-3 years at the most. But having gotten to spend now 9-10 years with Steph Curry, many 8 or something with Klay, Draymond, same. It takes a long time to get to know people. It doesn't take a month. It doesn't take 6 months. It takes years. And the friends you have and the relationships you two have, you have to go through stuff. For it really to matter and to find out who they are, who you are in that moment. And so to the point of being done or not, I think those three, I want to see those three. We still haven't seen them get back on the floor together. And it's not nostalgic, Marcus. It's actually a belief that they can win. I believe that. Our ownership believes that. Our coach believes that. So it's real. It's not like a charity thing where, hey, those guys won championships, let's just let them try again. It's not that. It's an actual belief.
Was it beginning of this season? Did you have that mindset? Was that pressure there, or did it grow once you saw, like, yo, Steph is nice, right? You know, Draymond still got it. Or what? From the beginning of the season, was that pressure there to do what you can to give them what they need, or did that kind of develop?
No, I mean, look, I didn't think that they were on the decline. I mean, certainly people said that and wrote that, and that's fine. We were coming off a pretty rough year, and Steph hadn't played. The hardest one was Klay's injury, because I think the best thing we did as an organization when we were succeeding was we built something that complemented each other. It was Klay complimenting Steph, Steph complimenting Draymond. It was a very reciprocal team. And so not having Klay made it hard to evaluate and answer your question. Obviously Steph had the year he had, which was unbelievable and well regarded and celebrated. And Draymond really turned it up in the last 20 something games, 25 games. But I don't think you're going to see the best version of Draymond or Steph without Klay, and vice versa. So to me, it wasn't I thought they couldn't do it, if that's kind of what you're thinking, and they proved me wrong. To be totally honest, it was more about, the hardest part was I knew we weren't going to get the answer to the question because Clay was out as to how good we can be. And that I want the answer to that question. They want the answer to that question. I think it's going to be a good answer, but we haven't seen it yet because Clay hasn't been there.
Clay is, you know, like everybody runs their own race and everybody recovers from injuries on their own timeline because everybody's different. Are you at all buoyed by the fact that KD's return from an Achilles was so complete to the point where you wouldn't even have known he was injured if you were watching him, unless maybe he knows there's a difference. But mm-hmm. are you at all buoyed by the fact that a player of that magnitude came back and became that player of that magnitude again? And, you know, does that augur well for Clay's recovery?
I think so. I do. And I that's been referenced. I've had that conversation with other people. And yes, certainly. And they speak. I talked to Clay the other day. He's rehabbing. And I think when Kevin's season was over, he said, "Hey, Kevin called me." Mm. And it's nice that they have. I remember I was over at Clay's house post-surgery. He just had the repair. So this was like November and around Thanksgiving because, you know, the season was all jacked up. But it was the off season hadn't started yet. And Kevin had FaceTimed Clay post-surgery. So, you know, that stuff matters because how many people are in that position? I mean, they're world-class athletes, unbelievably competitive. And now you've got a guy that's telling you, you can do this. I did it. I'm doing it. So more importantly than what I believe, it's the fact that Clay has that belief. Certainly good for me to see Kevin doing what he's doing, and beyond his injury, just being happy for him getting to play basketball. It's a treat for society to watch him play. But yeah, I mean, yes, it's a great thing for us, for Clay, to see someone come back and be as good or better than they were before.
So Bob, you're one of my favorite people in the industry because you like to think deeply, right? You like the people part, and that's kind of my lane. Like I like people,
or not.
So with yes or not, right? With that in mind, can you explain what is going on with Clay? We're watching him on boats doing IG lives, like he's kicking in. Did he discover something in his rehab that he's now more free? Like, what are you seeing from Clay?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. He's, from what we saw early, I'm sure you were around him early in his career. I mean, you couldn't get much out of him. I remember when
he was not this guy.
No.
He was not this
no,
guy.
No way. The evolution of Clay Thompson is a story in its own right. You know, I don't know, Marcus. I mean, maybe something happened in China. I don't know. He freed up mentally over there in China, Clay. I will say this. I think Clay has had to find joy outside of basketball. And I say that in that basketball was so central in his life. And when that's taken from you, I'm sure he went through a pretty high level depression, anger, anxiety, all the things you do when you're asking the why me questions. In a thing, I look at, this is probably a bad example, and you two would probably have a better one, but when somebody loves basketball and it's taken from them, especially in the prime of your career, it may be, and I don't say this, again, this is, I want to be sensitive, but it may be akin to like an alcoholic, like walking into a bar and being like, I can't drink, but I got to watch people drink. Like, I think it's that painful for Clay. He really struggled to be around the team after the knee. And then, not because he didn't want to be, because it was too hard to watch people playing. It was just too tough. And then the Achilles, he realized that even though it's hard, I need to be around my team. I need this. So he kind of went through this process, and now he's found ways to be, and I think he's going to find the happiness he lost in basketball again. He's going to get that back. Plus he's found a way in life, which I think a lot of athletes struggle with because they don't have 2 years off to figure out what else can make me happy. So they deal with this post-career. He had to deal with this mid-career, and he's found a way. You know, it's his boat. It's the little things. I mean, his you see it in the posts he has. I mean, he's a happy guy. And it's been fun to watch, Marcus. It's been really, he's one of my favorite guys. The last thing I'll say on him is, and I said it when he got hurt, I do believe in the NBA fraternity of players. I think if they voted on their favorite people, mm-hmm. I gotta believe he's up there. Yeah. Like he's an all NBA favorite teammate, and respected in that capacity.
Seriously though, is it terrifying watching him on boats? Like, is it exciting to watch Clay, or are you terrified?
You know, you gotta let him grow up, Marcus. You gotta let him run free. You gotta let him live his life. No, you know, however you can get it in a healthy outdoor boating way, let him do it. So it's good.
Right?
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
So it's with Clay that it's a good example of the varying timelines, right? That you have to deal with in your job every day. You've got his timeline to return at whether it's at the beginning of next season or not. He's got to return at his speed, at his pace. You've got Steph and Draymond who are kind of at the starter's gate, like ready to go. You've got Wiseman who is going to get up to speed, but maybe is a lap behind. You've got two lottery picks who are going to be further behind than Wiseman, and you've got to make all that work. Got to make that.
You're
all
making
of that
me stressing
work.
Me out.
And you got Lakeup calling you every 6 seconds, going, "Why aren't we doing this?"
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Like, that is all true.
How do you balance all that?
Yeah, I told Steve, our coach, because he'd done my job, and he's done your job, and you know you work with him. He's been in media, he's been in front office, he's been in coaching now. I said, we were talking about the differences in the job, and he always says, look, coaching's easier. And I said, you know what I think makes my job hard is there's infinite possibilities. All you said, all you just teed up, what's the right answer to all that? Is there a perfect answer? You could trade all your young guys for an older guy. You could do anything. You could do half of that. You could do none of that. It's all there. And so the challenge is how do you focus and make the right decision within all these possibilities? That's a question we ask ourselves every day. And it's not about, there's no perfect answer to what you're asking short of whatever the right thing is, you do that. Now, who's to say what the right thing is? The right thing could be, you draft and you do the best you can because nothing else happened. The right thing could be something came up where, you know, you said when Kevin was available, it's like, okay, we liked Harrison Barnes, but Kevin Durant was there. Okay. We liked Bogut. We had to move Bogut. I mean, so that's an easier one because he is so great. But sometimes it's clear and the direction is provided for you. Sometimes it's unclear. Sometimes there is no opportunity, even though it's reported. Why don't you do X, Y, and Z? Only myself or our ownership, we know, well, that wasn't a possibility. Only we know what ideas are exchanged. And although I will tell you this, like media has done a tremendous job, I mean, of gathering information. I do wish privately, and this isn't a knock on you two, that there wasn't so much just anonymous source and just throwing things out there. But I get it. It's fine. I mean, I told somebody the other day was lamenting an article, and I said, you can't get mad when the truth is written. just because you don't want it out there. Right? You can't get mad. And that's what I, even Marcus, we made the Wiggins trade. And I remember talking to Marcus. And Marcus, you can answer this. I didn't get upset. I told him, and I would, David, you don't write on us. But I said, you write whatever you want. And it, even if it's your truth, as long as it's not, as long as if you're writing something factual, just maybe ask me and I can tell you if it's true or not. But if it's true, or if it's an opinion, you're allowed to write whatever you want. So in the midst of all that, David, the challenge is locking in with your group. I do involve a guy like Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Clay. I know that's been written and said. That was always the case. That hasn't changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a partnership. You make decisions together. But I will tell you this, it's hard. And hopefully you get it more right than wrong. But it is not perfect and it is not easy. And there's no right answer to that question.
I know you hate this, Bob, but you got two executive of the year titles, three championships. A lot of people expect you to go like make the deal, right? Like, yo, I know nothing's there. I need you to go make something happen, right? I'm curious.
I would want you to do that if I was a fan. I would want that guy, like Myers. What are you doing?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm curious. How is it different for you now that things are opening? You've been cooped up for a while too. Like, is it easier to do your job when you can hang out with other executives? Are you happy to see your colleagues?
Yeah, no, I tell you what, Marcus, and I don't know how you two feel. I like, my favorite interactions are in person. I feel like I get the best conversations and connections. I'd rather do this with you guys in a studio. I think it'd be better. This is fine. It's great. But I think it'd be better. I think in person is the best. I think a phone call is the next. Well, this actually, now that we've been all exposed to video, Zoom, RingCentral, that's the next best. And then a phone call, and then a text, and then an email. I don't like communicating via text, but I find more and more people do.
I can second that.
I can confirm that. I hate it.
Yeah. It's so many times on a text message, you'll get someone going, really? Like, question mark. And you're kind of like, that's not what I was trying to say. You know? I didn't mean it. And then you can pick up the phone and go, no, I was, you know.
Right.
And I don't even know if anybody looks at emails anymore. But I miss Marcus, whether it's you or David or our players or our fans, most importantly. We had a smidgen of fans at that last playing game, that energy. I miss friendships, family. I am one of those people that likes going to work physically. I am not one of those people that is so excited that I can work remotely and I don't have to go to work. I'm the other side of that coin. I cannot fathom a job where I was content with not going to work and seeing people. So for me, I actually got to do more of that than most in COVID because we were testing every day, and you guys know what we were doing as far as the precautions. So I wasn't cooped up. Maybe you two were more than I was even. So it hasn't been a huge change, but I'm happy it's opening up for everybody.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
So what you heard, DA, was Bob saying, like, I was in Chicago working a room doing my thing. Be patient, Warriors fans.
Oh, you want to talk about Chicago? Yeah. Hey, so to Chicago. No, I do think this too.
Vegas is going down, huh?
No, I'll tell you what. Yes, a deal has a better chance of getting done if you start talking about it in person. Or if I have a report, if you two guys are GMs, you don't think that if we have some equity in this relationship, we got a better chance of doing a deal? That's human nature. That's human nature. So yeah, we got to work. And I actually have said this publicly. I'm envious of the coaching fraternity. I'm envious of the players fraternity. In the GM community, we lack that a little bit. I wish it was better. And it's getting a little better. I think it is. I think it might be getting a little better, but I'm not sure. But I just like you two, when you talk about difficulties of your jobs, only you two understand that the way you do. I can't really understand that. Just so you know a lot about what it might be like to be me or general manager, but not like Masai does or somebody else would, you know. So it's good to see these people and have a relationship with them.
I wonder what advice you would give Nico Harrison if he called you. Maybe he has. Because you came from a similar non-traditional background to the job, not the exact same job, but non-traditional. And just what I think people always think about what you have to do to adjust, but they don't think about the possibilities that you being there presents that are different than someone going a more traditional, who comes from a more traditional route. Like, you have other options, you have other venues, other relationships that maybe somebody that was an assistant GM for 6 years doesn't have.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you one pessimistic answer, which isn't my real answer, but it's closer to the truth than you think. If somebody called me and said, hey, what do you have to do to win a championship or be successful at this? And how do you do it? I'd say, it's easy. And they'd say, what do you mean? I'd say, oh, you only got to do one thing. And they'd say, what? I go, you just got to give up your soul. That's it. And it's almost like, I mean, it's unfortunately more true than I'd like to admit. So I caution everybody. I caution all these people that want to do this. Like, okay, that's me probably haven't done it 10 years, even though we've had success. I will say this to Diego, though. I would tell him it's hard. And I'm sure I'll talk to him at some point. I haven't talked to him. And that you'll never probably have more fun. You'll never be challenged more. You'll never be asked to lead more, manage people more. But what I would say most importantly is there's so much that is out of your control. You can do a wonderful job. You look at some of these teams that had injuries at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, well, what would I have done differently? I don't know. You know, it just didn't break my way. That happens in sports. There's good luck and there's bad luck. Honestly, what I would tell him is protect your family. And I know it has nothing to do with the job. And I'd say this, because at some point, you're either going to leave or get fired. And you got to have something to go back to. The people I worry about the most are the ones that can't quit it. And that have made this thing their identity to the degree where I can't exist. The second I get fired, I got to go somewhere else. I can't. And the problem is, well, I can't go back home because there's not much for me there. I've been gone so long mentally and physically that there's not a lot there for me. So that's the advice I would throw at him, like as a human being, because I can't tell him, hey, trade this guy, trade that. That's his business. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so I would tell him, like, don't let it kill you. A coach said that I'd known a long time. He got a head coaching job and he said, we were talking. I said, listen, don't let it kill your spirit. Like, don't let it take, because it can. I know people watching this are probably like, what the hell is he talking about? But it's there's a reason the mental health stuff is real. That stuff is real.
Yeah, that is not.
You guys have seen it. I mean, I was David. Like, I love offline, online. You've been at this longer than I have, and watching that part of this take hold, and being in media, like, it's real. Twitter and the pain of that, you know, that kind of you suck. Well, Yeah. You're a bust. It's real. Yeah.
And it's so like it's incomprehensibly inaccurate, you know, but nobody knows that. You know what I mean? Right. Like it's just, and you can't fight, against a mudslide. You know what I mean? It just keeps, this is more mud cups, you know, you just get more muddy. But I had dinner with a Hall of Famer. You would know him, who has done everything he can do in this game. He's won championships, and he said, this thing will take you to some dark places.
Yeah, man. I always tell the story to people. I say, so if you got out of the car for a cup of coffee or dropping your kids off at school, and you're walking back to your car, and somebody drives by and goes, you suck, Aldridge. You're an idiot. I go, would you not hear that? Would you not feel that? I bet you get in your car and go, damn, what would I do? You know, what am I doing wrong? You're a human being. You're
the fireworks
to
is what I do. Yeah. The other ones.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. So then you go, I'm not going to listen to that guy. But then the next time you do it, somebody goes, hey, Aldridge, you're the best. And you're like, that feels good.
Yeah,
so the challenge is, I tell people the challenge is you can't hear either of those.
Yeah.
You can't hear either. Yeah. Because if you hear the good and that matters, it's going to be hard to not hear the bad. And that's the hard part for players. You know, you're celebrated one day and then, you know, it's tough. It's hard.
That's the part I don't like about it. It lacks integrity. It lacks, I mean, the criticism, you know, is instant, which is one of the problems, right? It's everybody's take is right there. It's not processed. It's not thought out. And usually that's how sports is anyway, right? Over time, we begin to know what we really think about people. But social media makes your reaction instant, right? It's like, this is how I feel right now.
Yeah.
And there's no integrity in it. There's no like, yo, I said you were trash, and then tomorrow I said you're great, and then the next day you're trash again. Like, you just don't have to have integrity about your take, right? And so it's almost like, I don't want to participate because I'm actually thinking about this and I'm weighing it and I'm processing it and I'm trying to make a conclusion here, and it don't even matter because you're just gonna be like, you trash or you're great. Yeah. It's like there's no integrity in the conversation anymore. It wasn't like this when it was a water cooler, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like this when we remember in stats on a baseball card. Like, you had to have your take and you had to stand by it and had to be based on something. Now it's just like, you suck.
But I mean, like, for me, the challenge for you two is you're in this soundbite world, and you guys are great writers, and you write these long form pieces. And if I read anything, I read those. The problem is you are asked to enter this instantaneous world, and you're like, this isn't real, but it's real to people that you work for. It's real to it's tough, you know. So you got to get in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's and the players they live the more Instagram, Twitter than they do, I'm going to read a long form athletic piece. It's tougher.
What do you think about two teams that have not been on the stage in a while getting to the finals? The absolute best thing that could happen to the league is having this kind of wide open playoffs where nobody knows what's going to happen. But what did you think as you watched this over the last couple of months?
I've been kind of thought as I watched it myself, I'm always thinking like, well, the best players are going to get to the final. That's always the team with the best player.
Mm-hmm.
And this is shaking that philosophy a little bit. It doesn't take anything away from Phoenix or Milwaukee, but there was a ton of injuries. It just is a different type of thing. Really, at one point during the conference finals, you had arguably the Clippers. This was when Chris Paul was out. He was out. Kawhi was out. Giannis was out. Trae Young was out, right? I mean, that's four. I think those are maybe the four best guys. That's not normal. That is not normal.
Yeah.
The teams that are there, this isn't Phoenix had a great record all year long. Our owner, Joe, predicted. He was kind of in a minority. He said, I think Phoenix is going to the finals before the playoffs. Before.
Wow.
And I don't think a lot of people.
Yeah, me and Joe are the only two people. I was on it.
You were on it.
I'm on wax, baby.
Right, there you go. There you go. But, you know, there's a lot of good stories in it. Giannis finally getting there. There's Chris Paul. There's a lot of great stories in this finals. And the fact that a team's going to be there that hasn't been there in forever, hasn't won in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I like it, like you said, for the
when we were, I liked it when we were great because I just thought we're going to go to the finals. Right. That was fun for me.
For the fans. Yeah, it was. People love dynasties. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they like that too. But I like not knowing. Like, I'm going to turn on this game tonight. I didn't look at what the odds are or predictions are, but I don't know. The thing of this that's fun is who knows what's going to happen. But I hope everybody's healthy. I hope the Bucks can be healthy as they can. I like to see a full team compete against each other for both squads. Like, just because these players work so hard, and this is what they work their entire lives for. You want them to be able to participate in it on both sides.
This watching Phoenix and Milwaukee get there, I think of the early years of the Warriors, especially with Phoenix. I'm wondering, you've done the build through the draft. I remember the 2012 draft that almost killed you. And I remember the Andre Iguodala signing that almost killed you, right? Yeah. The KD thing. Yeah. I'm wondering.
I'm not hanging on.
Yeah. you're just resilient. Danville, baby. Danville strong.
We'll see. Yeah.
Having done both, right? Having dealt with the free agency element, having done the draft part, which part leaves you the least sane? Like, which is the most daunting?
It all, you know, it's it all adds up. You know, it's not one. The first kind of blow to kind of your, the first time I was overwhelmed was 2012 draft, being a new GM with 4 picks and, you know, brand new, you know, new situation for me. But then as you go through it, you get more experience, like you two. But stress is stress. And the thing that's hard is if it accumulates, Marcus, where if you find yourself at some point going, like we joked about resiliency, but that is the challenge of not each acute moment. It's the additive effect of all of it. So, yeah, the Iguodala sign and trade, really difficult. The first draft, a lot. You know, Durant, there's just an enormity to all of it, especially when those were big things for me, for us, trying to find our footing. And now it's about how do we stay relevant? How do we keep it going? You know, I guess the best part for me is that we got lucky and we won. And when you win, I tell people, you find out what it means to win a championship and you find out what it doesn't mean. And I don't know if you two are smart. You know what I'm talking about. Like, what does it give you and what does it not give you? And you'll find it doesn't give you as much as you think. Or at least for me, I don't know. You guys, you win a championship,
it's relief more than joy, right?
Like, you just referenced the Hall of Famer that's like, blah, 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 credentials, resume, championships. And he's like, yeah, you know, it ain't all perfect. So my point to referencing that is, as you move through it, Marcus, you have to figure out a way to not let it overwhelm you and just try and just do your best and understand that sometimes it doesn't work and sometimes it does. And for those guys, like looking at whether it's James Jones or John Horst or their front office, they're in it right now. Like, they're in it to the highest level. And one of them is going to be happier than they've ever been professionally, maybe. One of them is going to be devastated. And that's the part. It's a zero-sum game now, yeah, more than it's probably ever been. You know, I use the example when we won 73 games and set that record, which I'm proud of. I think that record won't be broken, personally. Mm-hmm. I think that matters. May not to a lot of people would say, a lot of people do say that's a failure. You didn't win the championship. And I told Steve one time, Kerr, I said, we were talking about that. And I said, Steve, we get to decide if it matters or not. Mm. That's for us. That's not for the public. You know, just like a championship, you do your best with what's in front of you, understanding that it oftentimes you might look back and go, I should have done this or that. And that's just the nature of what we do. It's just, you're going to get second guessed and you're going to get it right. And someone's going to get it wrong and just deal with it.
Man, I was just asking, do you prefer building through the draft or through free agency? Yeah. I didn't expect you to get all sentimental.
You took me to some dark places. For me, it's that simple. It ain't just the draft or free agency. Those are pain moments sometimes.
He's like, there's 10 years of Joe Lacob on my back.
You know what, though? Joe, I got to say, like, Joe, I love Joe. I know he's got it. There's a perception, Joe. You know what I love about Joe is, and I admire about him, is his competitiveness and his relentlessness. we were, it was
his relentless optimism, right?
No, like that not, dude, not, not even that, not even that. It was Father's Day. Okay. And I'll tell Joe, and he sends me a text to a couple of the people and he's like, you watching the Clippers game? I think there's somebody playing. He's like, I don't know if they're guards, you know, they need to, you know, give him some advice on the game. And I'm like, I look at my text, I'm like, it's Father's Day. we're at the playoffs. And then I take a step back and I go, this dude, like, he's relentless. Like, that's why he's achieved what he's achieved. And that's why we won in a lot of ways. Like, I credit him. It's that prodding and pushing. And Marcus, I embrace that. Like, people like that, there's more people that want to just quit and give up. I admire that quality of him, that kind of like, it's never going to stop. I for our fans, if there's Warriors fans, that's exactly what you want. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what you want in an owner, where it's not just the money, it's the desire and the will to win that is there, not because of public pressure, but because they want it. They personally want to make it happen. And that I can't ask for anything. We spend so much money. I mean, I'm lucky to be working for him and our ownership group because they want to win, and we've spent a lot of money trying to do it.
It's amazing, the outlay. And it never bothers me if an owner doesn't want to spend money. I just wish they'd be public about that. I wish they'd just say, I'm not going to spend. Because then you can make an informed decision about whether you want to support that or not. And that's okay.
Sure.
And Joe is at the exact opposite end, which is I will literally spend anything in pursuit of winning. And I just... I really got to respect that.
Get on board, David.
I respect that. I really respect that. I respect the almost lunacy with which he's the mania with which he operates.
You know what? I've started to realize sometimes with him, I have to, you know, it's a little backwards where I might have to say, Joe, we can't, that's not a good idea. You know, right. that may move us 2% towards winning, but not at the expense of $50 million. So, it's a little bit backwards where probably the GM is usually the one saying, you know, we got to do this.
Yeah.
And the owner going, but he's, like I said, it's not fake either.
Yeah.
The money speaks for it. Right. Like it's right. Not some owners say, I want to spend. He just spends.
Yeah. Right.
He says that he does it. So it's pretty unique in sports. It is pretty unique.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, man, you know, you got to work out people and get ready for this, this monumental draft. For
this don't count. This part don't count.
No, it's
good. Let me know when Jalen Green comes to town.
I will.
David, I'm glad you care.
I will be very interested if Jalen Green actually comes to a workout.
I would be interested too.
I would be too, right? That would be the biggest development.
That would be something.
Can you guys make that happen? Because right now that's not on the books.
That is not probably going to happen, you know? So, yeah.
You can help.
Yeah, we'll do what we can. Bob Myers, thank you, man. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. It's always a pleasure. Always great talking to you, man. You've got the perspective that most people don't, and I love that about you. perspective matters.
Thank you, and I'm sorry if I could have been more clear in my answers, Marcus.
You're good. I like it. I like it. I saw your eyes flashing back like, oh, man, he's gone. He's gone.
I feel like Dr. Mulsey now with the Sopranos, you know?
You know what's crazy, Bob? Like, you know, the difficulties, like, you know, obviously the job is a lot. What does it say about being an agent that you're like, yo, I'm never
doing that? I'm not going to do that. I'd rather do this.
I won't give me this. My goodness.
Absolutely. Oh, man. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
As always, thank you, man. Everybody, leave that 5-star review on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, all the places you get this fine American podcast. And as always, Marcus, as you know, I tell him every week,
if it's less than 5 stars,
keep it to yourself.
Haters.
Exactly. Later.